Are you prepared for the return of Jesus Christ? Do you sense that we are living in the final days before his glorious appearing? Now more than ever, it's crucial for believers to be ready and equipped for the coming move of God. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a vital message for you in this critical hour. In the End Time Readiness Package, you'll receive two powerful resources to help you navigate the narrow band of time before Christ's return. In Living at the End of Time, a time of supernatural increase, Kenneth Copeland reveals that we've entered a period of acceleration. You'll discover how to cooperate with God's end time agenda and experience signs, wonders, and miracles in your everyday life. In Gloria Copeland's mini book, Are You Ready? Learn how to stay watchful and in tune with the Spirit so you're fully prepared with God's word for what's ahead. Live victoriously and confidently, free from fear in these end times, and be ready for the greatest outpouring of God's glory ever seen. Get equipped with the End Time Readiness Package and receive books by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on paperback or as digital downloads. Request your free package today on kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Find out how you can live healed, protected, and free from fear. Offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Welcome to this edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Pastor George Pearsons, and this is...
Oh, Terry Copeland Pearsons.
And we're so glad to be with you and Kenneth.
Did you forget?
No, I was...
Just like a memory log.
I was there. Throwing it to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciated that.
Didn't quite catch it, though.
No. I really did. I knew what you were doing.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank Kenneth and Gloria, first of all. We've been on for a week here on these broadcasts. We're going to be on next week as well. And how grateful we are to be in the studios of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast at this desk. There has been so much... It's saturated with the Word of God.
As Dad calls it, the holy desk.
The holy desk.
The holy desk.
And so we are grateful.
We're grateful, but you know what else? We don't take this lightly at all.
No.
I mean, this is a... Oh, it's making me cry. This is a holy thing to us. It's not something we just come and do. It's so holy to us. The fear of the Lord is on us because we know how much it means to Him that you hear exactly what you need for you to have the victory in your life that He wants you to have. So it's a privilege and an honor. And I'll tell you something else we don't take lightly, and that's the fact that you're watching, that you took the time to go to this broadcast, however you're watching it, whatever channel, station, outlet you're watching. It means a lot that you made the effort and that the Lord would lead you and trust us with this half hour of time to equip you with something that we believe is beyond essential and critical for the hours that we're living in.
And we want to make all of the outlines available to you. They're absolutely free on kcm.org/notes. And all of the scriptures that we've been talking about, these thoughts that we've been putting down on paper, they're quite valuable to those who are students of the Word of God, especially ministers who are preaching. My goodness, you can take this whole series and take it to your church and preach it. And I know pastors and ministers that have done that. So that's how you can acquire that. You know, if you've been looking around lately and seeing all of the things that are going on in our nation and around the world, it is pretty stunning to see everything from what's taking place in Israel, which, by the way, we are very closely associated with friends in Israel. Kenneth Copeland Ministries partners are supporting our friends in Israel. You know, when you bless Israel, what happens? You're blessed.
That's right.
And
God,
so we are
God
taking part in that. But you look around at everything that's happening. We've got an election coming up before us, and there are people are scratching their heads wondering, is it going to be corrupted? Is it going to be true? What's going to happen? And there are people that are just are worried about what's taking place. And I remember the words of Jesus, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be in fear." Because we have the Word of God and we have the assurance that we are of the kingdom of God here on earth. We may be in this earth, but we are certainly not of this world.
No, that means that we're not dependent on it as our source. We're not dependent on its ways of
That's
thinking.
Right.
We're not dependent on the I'm going to say the spiritual laws. It's more than physical laws. Mm-hmm. We're not bound by the way things work in the world.
Yeah.
The way it works in the world is dark gets darker.
Mm-hmm.
No, as Murphy's Law. That's the ways of the world. If it's,
right,
if anything
right.
could break, it's going to break. But we are operating from our position in the kingdom. It's a little bit like, it's a lot like this. If you're an ambassador in a foreign country, the place where you live, that's like if you're at a UN, a U.S. embassy in some other country, that's U.S. territory. The place where you live, that's U.S. territory.
That's right.
And you make it the U.S. because you're there, or wherever country that you live in. So we're in this world, but we are sent here, the Bible says, as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And we play by His rules.
That's right.
We play by
that's
His
right.
way, His culture, His way of thinking and doing. And we apply it then to the culture that we live in.
That's right. And I was thinking about, Terry, the other day, I was thinking about Isaac in Genesis 26. There was a famine in the land, yet Isaac sowed in that famine, and he reached 100-fold in that same time. He was different from all the rest. They were jealous of him because he was not affected, nor was he touched by the extenuating circumstances of the famine.
He overcame them.
He overcame it, and he applied his faith to it. Isaac was a tither. How do I know that? Because his father was a tither, and his father taught him well. So in the midst of all of that's going on financially, we're tithers, and the devourer is rebuked, and the windows of heaven are opened over us. And we are in a time, even though the world may be going this way, praise God, we are going this way. We're going up. We're going higher. And we're talking about these end times and the times that we're in right now, Terry, and all of the things that are going on around us. But I'm so thankful for the Word of God that we have and the prophetic Word that we have. And over the last couple of days, we've been talking about this prophetic Word that Brother Copeland gave back in 2010. But it is as important now, even more so than it was back then. So let me go ahead and go through this Word. The world is in serious trouble.
You think?
Duh. The world is in serious trouble. But for the household of faith and those that will cling to my Word, everything is going to be all right.
Let's say that together. For the household of faith.
For the household of faith.
Everything.
Everything.
Is going to be all right.
Is going to be all right. Now, you need to look back a few days in the broadcast that we've done. If you haven't been keeping up with us, we took time on the broadcast to talk about what it means to cling to the Word. Well, the world is in serious trouble. Some very hard things are coming in different places around the world. They're that way now, and they're not going to get better.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's right.
They will continue to get worse and worse. It's on a downhill run that the world cannot stop. Terry, it said it's going to get worse and worse.
Oh, panic. What was me?
What are we going to do?
I don't know. What are we going to do?
But for the household of faith, everything is going to be all right.
So glad to hear that.
But, Terry, there's some things that you're going to have to do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was just going to be able to sit back and eat bonbons.
Eat bonbons. No, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to take a stand on the Word of God. Now, I've been going through my notes and putting the check mark by the ones that we've covered so far this week. If you haven't been with us, go back. You've got to listen to this. You've got to watch this. You'll have to take a stand. Check. You'll have to fight the good fight of faith.
That's a fixed fight.
Check. But when did you not have to do that?
Always had to stand in faith because the ways of this world, we're clinging to the Word. The world is clinging to its ungodly, unholy, self-righteous, wicked ways.
Yes. I was hanging on every word you were speaking. Okay, so these are dangerous times. These are dangerous times financially. They're dangerous times in the earth because the earth is weighed under a gross weight of sin. There are things and places and situations underneath the earth, in the oceans and in the heavens that are being rattled and shaken. The earth is trying to break apart in different places. Then this word goes back to the things that we need to be doing, the instructions of the warning that we're being given. Stand on my word and it will not come near you. Check. We've covered that already on the broadcast. Praise and worship my name. We're going to talk about that on this broadcast. Don't feed fear and trouble into your life through your mouth. Quit living in that house. Get back over here on the household of faith. We're going to talk about fear. Feed on my word and not on the bread of sorrow. Look in my face. Praise and worship and preach the word. Everything is going to be all right in the household of faith.
Praise God.
So let's start with this one. We praise and worship and preach the word.
It's interesting how those three go together that way. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a service.
Yeah, that's true.
We praise, we worship. Praise and worship. Praise and worship, it's not defined by fast music, slow music. It's not that. Praise is thankfulness. Praise is acknowledgement for what's been done. Praise is acknowledgement for the gift, the provision of God. Praise is acknowledgement for God's position, God's right, God's authority. That's wonderful. Worship, though, worship takes it to another level. Worship yields. Mm. Worship is yielded to become like. So if I worship a basketball player, then what do I want to do? I want to be just like him. I'm going to do the things that he does. I'm going to wear the shoes that he wears. I'm going to dress like he dresses. I'm going to talk like he talks. I'm going to think like he thinks. And whatever I see he does, that's what I'm going to do because I worship what he does. So praise says, thank you. I am so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Praise you, Lord, and I acknowledge how good and how big a God you are. But worship yields over to him my own thoughts, my own ways, my own words, my own way of doing and thinking, Amplified says. Mm-hmm. But rather, I yield over to that, and I am conformed then to his image, his way of doing and thinking and being right. I know that wasn't in our notes, but those two things together, then when you come to that and it's the word that's going in your heart and out of your mouth when you're doing that in the word, then in fact, God says his presence inhabits that praise and that worship because when we yield to him, he's faithful to inhabit.
Yep. Praise is power. It's power.
I like
that. Psalm 9, verse 1 through 3, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart, I will show forth all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Thou Most High. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. That's what praise does. It pushes back the enemy. And let me read this to you. This is good. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, it's always good to take time to praise the Lord. It's always good because it shifts things in your life. It changes your attitude. Listen to this. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hind's feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. So in the midst of all of that, of what you're going through right now, in the midst of all that we're going through right now. Praise you, Lord. Praise God.
Praise God.
Glory to God. I rejoice in you. I rejoice in you, Lord. And just the other day, I was driving to work, and I was just praising God out loud. I was shouting in the car. I was laughing. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And it changes you. It changes your attitude.
Well, you become like him.
And you become, yeah, he becomes infused into your very being. So what we do, we praise, we worship, We preach the word, Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Well, that's Kenneth Copeland Ministries right there.
And it's you too. You should be preaching the word. You might not be in a pulpit, but you know you have a pulpit in your life. You have a pulpit in your prayer time. You have a pulpit wherever you go, not just to other people.
Right.
But sometimes you got to say it to yourself looking in the mirror, say it to your family. You say it to those around you, and you sure enough say it to the devil and to anybody else that wants
that's
to be
right.
hearing me.
Sometimes I listen to myself preach, and it encourages me. Sometimes I have that CD, the Power
Confessions.
And I've been listening to that in the car. Coming into work, I will listen to myself confess the word.
That's Pastor George confessing the word, and you can get that there on our shopping
cart. I will speak a scripture, then I'll say it again. And what I tell the people is that I'm going to say it one time, and then you repeat it with me. And I'm doing that with myself. I'm building myself up in my most holy faith, and I'm preaching to myself. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Okay, now this next one, we don't feed on fear, trouble, or the bread of sorrows.
What does it mean, George, to feed? How do you feed on that? That's, you know, it's a Bible word, but it's one we use, but people that are unfamiliar with that as a spiritual term, how do you feed on trouble?
Feeding is eating. And you look at the natural eating, you have food and you ingest it down on the inside through your mouth. Well, when you're feeding on fear and trouble, you are ingesting the fear that's around you and the trouble that's in you, and it's causing you to then enter into a place of fear, and it creates trouble in your own life.
So would you say, too, that would include what you're listening to?
What you're listening to, what you're watching. Yes, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
And then maybe what they're thinking on.
Yeah.
You know, you hear something on the news, such and such happened to somebody, and before you know it, without you even realizing, then that is playing out in your mind like it's happening to you, happening to your kids, to your neighbor, to your friends, which is a great opportunity to deal with it with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, then you keep feeding on that, then your imagination then becomes fear, and fear is faith at work, and it will produce the imagery one way or another that you're meditating on. You're feeding it into your mind, feeding it into your soul, feeding it into your spirit, and you're feeding it into the spiritual realm.
Your own atmosphere around you.
That's good.
I was just thinking about this. The Apostle Paul said this, "Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Who shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And each one of those things he dealt with. Every one of those things.
It's true.
He says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And then he says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we identify with who we are in Christ, and we will not fear.
So that's a great word these days. How do you identify? I'll tell you how I identify. I identify with him. I identify with this word. I identify with the scripture he just read. I identify with being more than a conqueror, able to do all things through Christ who loves us. I identify as a person of love, full of patience, kindness, temperance, meekness, goodness, joy, faithfulness. I identify with who he says I am, and not what the pressure around me says, not what the world says, not what my circumstances dictate, not what the doctor says. I am the healed, and the devil's trying to take my health from me. I'm not broke. I'm not poor. I don't identify with that. The devil comes to wah, 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 wah against you, say, I just don't identify with that.
That's right. I think something that Bill Winston said, I heard him say a long time ago, he talked about how feeding on faith will flush out fear.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Feeding on the word will flush out the fear. It's just like if you had a glass
right. And
it was cloudy with just all kind of dirt and stuff in it, and you started pouring that water into it, and all of a sudden it's flushing it out, and there's a clarity to it.
It takes a bit.
It does. It takes a bit to do that.
And the more you keep the water coming in, then the more the stuff will get.
That's right.
The more you get out.
And we're going to deal next week. We're going to take a whole day and talk about fear. We're going to talk about refusing to fear. And we don't feed on the bread of sorrow. Luke 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word from the mouth of God is what we feed on, and that what we spiritually grow on. So no fear.
Yeah. Jesus said, be very careful what you hear, and the attention of thought that you give to it, because whatever attention you give to it, it's going to come back to you that way even more.
That's
so
right.
It's our choice.
That's right. Let me read this scripture from Psalm 92.
I wish you would.
This is really good. Let's talk about the household of faith and being in the household of faith. It says in verse 12, I'm going to read it from the Amplified, the uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Where is that? I lost my place. In Psalm 91, turn there.
Nope.
Okay. Stay with me. Because you have it written in your Bible. The uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible, planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord. Don't stop going to church. Get planted in the house of the Lord. Don't stop with the word of God. Get planted in the house of the Lord. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, you had quoted to me words about the word flourish. And I talk for a moment while I'm finding this. Flourish.
Well, you said talking about being in the household of faith.
I found it.
Take it back.
Okay, flourish means increase, enlarge, be extremely successful, enter into a state of prosperity, to be thrust forward, to grow exceedingly, increase in wealth, favor, and honor. And that's what it's like to be in the household of faith.
But you have to be planted there.
You got to be planted there.
When you're planted, and it's not, you can plant something, but if it's just barely planted there very long, it'll come right out. It'll be easy to pull it up. But Isaiah says that you're supposed to be a mighty oak of righteousness.
That's right.
That's one that's rooted and grounded, so
yes,
that it's not easy to pull you up. In fact, it should be impossible to move you out of the things and the plan of God that He has for you.
Anyway, being in the household of faith means you are a very prosperous person.
Yep.
No matter what's going on around you, you prosper in the midst. You thrive in tough times and not just survive. And we do that how? By sowing and by reaping.
Yeah.
It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he's purposed in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Did you want to share that testimony?
Well, I wanted to put it with this. Hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit right now is of utmost importance, but we have to be trained in knowing to recognize His voice. You are spiritually born again with the equipment that enables you to do that, but you have to develop in it. And one of the ways to develop in listening to Him is to listen to His voice where giving is concerned. Mm-hmm. If you won't respond to Him where giving, which is love, if you won't respond to that, then love isn't going to be able to respond to you.
Right.
So yesterday I went somewhere and I was saying goodbye to a lady in the place where I was. And anyway, I walked out the door and the Lord said to me, give her some money. Well, I happened to have a couple of $100 bills in my purse because someone had blessed me, and I stuck them in my purse. So I walked in. She said, what can I do for you? It was after closing time. So I said, well, you said you need some money earlier, and so I gave her a $100 bill. She burst into tears and said, oh, stop. I said, no. Don't say stop when somebody's blessing you. Say thank you, Jesus. And she didn't say it. She's just crying. I said, no, say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I said, okay. She said, but you don't understand. I don't have but $40 to my name. I said, well, you need some more. So I reached in my wallet. And I pulled out the other $100 bill that I had. Oh, she's sobbing at this point. And I said, quit, don't do that. Say thank you, Jesus. I want to hear you say it. Thank you, Jesus. And she's saying it a little bit. And then somebody walked around the corner and took a look at what was going on, because you could hear her crying everywhere. He walked back around. I said, now, tell him. And she was crying a little bit. And I said, now, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. And so we kind of got her sniffles cleared up a little bit. And I started to turn to walk away. And she stopped. She threw back both arms and hollered, threw back her head and said, thank you, Jesus. I said, now that's what we wanted to hear. But you see what had happened? Someone had blessed me.
Yep.
And my dispensing of that gift,
yes, yes,
then caused great thanksgiving and praise, mm-hmm, to God.
That's right.
And there's that verse, George.
2 Corinthians 9:12, amplified, for the service that the ministering of this fund renders does not only fully supply what is lacking to the saints, God's people, but it also overflows in many cries of thanksgiving to God.
We at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, everybody here, Eagle Mountain Church, Victory Channel, KCBC, and all of our ministries, we are here to administer into the household of faith. And we're inviting you right now to take that opportunity to be a part with us, partner with us, to sow into the offering this week, to be a support. Obey what God tells you to do.
That's right.
About this offering. Be obedient with all of your heart in this and let Him bless you, but it will bring praise to others as that money is administered.
That's right.
So the information for you to give is on the screen right there, and you can sow that seed into this, and we are believing with you for the supernatural abundance and return back to you, but also for many voices to cry, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, because of the gift that you have sown. Praise God.
As we go, remember this.
God loves you.
We love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for your abundant harvest. To sow your financial seed, you can text the letters KCM to 36609. Go online to kcm.org/give. Or call 800-600-7395. Your giving has helped send the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle.